Welcome to the Podglomerate.
For everything that you were too afraid to ask at home, too embarrassed to ask at school, or was just too hard to ask your partner, welcome to the Sex Rap.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Sex Rap. You're here with Spring and Andrew, your favorite sex doctors, talking to you, answering your questions about sex, about relationships, about sexual health. We love to hear from you. You can DM us on our social media. We're on Instagram. We're at the Sex Rap Rap with a W. How are you feeling today, Spring?
I'm feeling great. And, you know, favorite time of day is recording podcast time.
Yay, podcast time! I love our podcast questions today. You know, normally we talk about other stuff, but we got this question almost 5 years ago. It's been on our list. And it's, what is FWB and how does it work? And I love this question because when I first read it, I'm like, well, this is one of those where we have a pretty short and easy answer where most of the time for most people, it doesn't work as intended. I'm not going to say it doesn't work at all, but I think that there's a lot of like people envision it one way, but the reality is quite different.
And I'm just going to say, we had this question on our list for so long because we have so many questions, first of all, so many questions to answer. But also, I think Andrew and I were kind of like, oh, that's such a simple one, like, you know, but then when we thought about it, there's quite a lot to talk about. And I'm pretty excited to talk about it today. So we're going to get into Friends with Benefits.
All right. And Friends with Benefits, for those of you who don't know, it's a relationship where there are two or more people who engage in some kind of sexual activity without the typical kind of like relationship and emotional bond that you would have like if someone that you're dating, someone that you're romantically involved with. So sex without like romantic emotional bonds with another person. That's not to say there isn't romance and there isn't emotion, but it's not the same that you would typically see with someone that you're dating or someone that you're in a long-term relationship with.
And I would say that, so in different types of relationships, there are different kind of steps that people go through. And so we have something in most monogamous relationships, people step onto what we call this relationship escalator, where they kind of are dating with this idea of like getting more and more serious and then potentially moving in and then maybe getting married and then maybe having children. There's kind of like this escalator of like events that kind of is assumed in a lot of monogamous relationships. And so this Friends with Benefits is kind of stepping outside of this relationship escalator as well. So we're thinking about this relationship that kind of doesn't escalate. It starts where most relationships start, and then it stays there. That's the idea for a Friends with Benefits relationship, right? Like it is starting where most start, and then it doesn't actually proceed.
And it's really important when we talk about Friends with Benefits relationships that both parties are aware that it's a Friends with Benefits situation. Like if you believe it's Friends with Benefits, but the other person thinks that you're on an escalator, that's where big wrecks happen and relationships and heartbreaks happen and fights happen. A Friends with Benefits relationship that's going well doesn't really have the emotional intensity for like anger or jealousy or fights. You've had some conversations, you've built some boundaries, you've talked about all of those things, hopefully ahead of time, because good Friends with Benefits relationships do come with a lot of emotional awareness, right? It's not an emotionally dead relationship. It's one where you have really good emotional awareness. You're aware of your own emotional needs and limitations and how they link to the other person. And the other person does the same thing for you. I think this is areas where it gets really challenging, though, because throughout most of our lives, the relationships that we see and model, like Spring said, that escalator, like we're supposed to have those benchmarks inside of our relationship. And Friends with Benefits relationships blur a lot of those lines, right? So you really have to learn to monitor your feelings about what's going on and this other person to avoid some of the emotional distress. Because for a lot of people in Friends with Benefits relationships, you end up on that escalator. You don't mean to start there, but you know, if you're hanging out with someone, if you're having a good time with someone, if you're calling someone because you had a bad day or calling someone because you had a great day because you want to get off and have some fun, often it morphs into other feelings, right? So I think the very first rule, if you want to be able to do these kind of relationships, is having a level of your own emotional awareness, talking about it, and then making sure that the person that you're FW being with is also engaging at a pretty high level of emotional awareness.
Right. So this means that you are having conversations, you know, about these boundaries also, like when you are starting a friends with benefits situationship with somebody, you want to talk with them about, you know, how much emotional bandwidth they have within this relationship, right? So some people in their friends with benefits relationships don't want emotional connection. They only want to like be hooking up and to not have this kind of like, you know, check in, like, how are you doing? Like that type of thing. And some people do want that as part of their FWB situationships. So I think that like, it's really important to talk to someone about like, how much emotional support do you want out of this? How much are you comfortable with? And like continually doing some check-ins around that, because that's going to be very different for different people within different setups. And I think that like the more mature and cognizant you are of that, then the better chance you have of this FWB sitch working out well for you.
I love that you call FWB situationship, because that's really what it is, right? And we know that the situation is most of the time about hooking up. And considering you're hooking up with somebody that you are hooking up for the sake just of hooking up, you have to be aware of a lot of other issues, right? Like you have to be thinking about things like your sexual health and the sexual health of your partner, using what kind of protection you'll use, how do you prevent sexually transmitted infections, what happens if there's an unintended pregnancy. If you're involved with friends with benefits or multiple friends with benefits, it's really important to make sure that you're getting regular STI checkups and having really clear communication about sexual health, sexual histories, and how you protect yourself and your partner, right? Because it's a non-monogamous setup. You're expecting to have sex probably with multiple people most of the time in friends with benefits. So sexual health conversations.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting that you said that, because I think that, you know, actually, some people would assume that their friends with benefits situations are monogamous, that they're only doing that with each other until maybe someone meets someone that they want to form a different type of relationship with, right? So I think, you know, that is, you do want to have the sexual health conversations, but also you want to check in about your boundaries around, is it okay if this person that you're having friends with benefits is having other friends with benefits? Is that okay with you? And also having conversations about, you know, the sexual health implications of that if people are having multiple partners. And I think that some people, you know, would enter an FWB thing thinking that it's only, we're the only ones doing this, you know. And so I don't think that that would be an assumption. So I think that's really important to talk about also.
Absolutely. And when you're in these kind of relationships with people or situationships, I'm going to call them situationships for the rest of the episode. There are a lot of other things to consider, right? Like often people will want dates or they'll want to be seen in public and you'll have to have boundaries and conversations about it. Like, do we go out to eat together? Do I get to spend the night? What do we say if we see friends? Do we have mutual friends? Inevitably, right? Inevitably, when people are in these relationships, it gets out. So what do you do if there's public knowledge about this relationship? Do you care about it? Or are you going to work to avoid external judgments and the complications that can come with it? Other people are likely to perceive you as dating each other if they find out about it too. Like, so maybe there's someone you're interested in, they find out about your FWB, and all of a sudden that person now thinks about you differently or that you're not available, right? So there's just a lot of peripheral issues that you have to think about. Your sexual health is important, right? Defining that relationship. And sometimes people do end up getting, you know, we have entire episodes about jealousy, but people end up getting jealous inside of these friends with benefit situationships as well. So they are complicated, right? There's like a lot that you have to navigate. There's a lot of conversations that you have to have. And I love that Spring talked about those check-ins that you have. You need to have check-ins with the other person, with their emotional status, with their sexual health status, with their other relationship statuses, with changes in your relationship status. Yeah, a lot of check-ins that you have to do.
And so, you know, this other thing we're talking about, you know, maybe you're having friends with benefits with numerous people, maybe you're not. But another thing that I think is really important to talk about with whoever you're having an FWB situationship with is, you know, what is the end of this FWB situationship? Like, I think starting with that's really important. So like, are they looking for some type of relationship, either a relationship escalator idea, or are they looking for a polyamorous relationship? Or what are they looking for? And, you know, is this like a temporary situation until they find that? And I think that's like one of the most important questions you want to ask, because you want to know, like, why are they interested in this situationship now? Why do they want it now? And like, what would they be interested in doing this until, right? So if there's an end point that they're like thinking like, I want to do this now, but like at some point I want this other type of relationship, I just don't want it with you. And then that needs to be very clear. And that needs to be very clear so that that other person understands like what they're getting into, right? Like, do I choose to be a temporary FWB with this person while they are looking for something else? Because that is what a lot of people kind of are choosing to do here. Like, they are saying like, you know, I want to be able to have sex with somebody I like while I am looking for someone that I think is a good partner for me in some way, right? And if that's not clear, that can be very painful to the other person in the FWB situationship, because they might be thinking that this is a potential escalator, right? They might be thinking like, I am at this stage now trying to get to a different place with this person. And often that's not what people are thinking when they're stepping into these. But that does need to be very clear. People need to have that conversation right at the beginning so that you're protecting yourself and you're protecting each other. Because even if you're the one who knows you don't want anything else and the other person might, you can still get hurt by hurting that other person and by like the responses from that person. Like, you're going to end up hurt in that situation also. So like, being very clear about what you want, why you want it, why you want it with this person, like what you think that you can each give to each other, and kind of like what that timeline might look like for each other. I think that's like the most important type of conversations you want to be having.
It sounds like you're telling me I have to be a mature human being who can effectively communicate my sexual needs, wants, and desires to somebody else to enter into a FWB situationship and make sure that I myself am not hurt and the other person or multiple people that I'm FWBing with are not hurt.
Yeah,
right?
I'm telling you that. And
there's more.
Of course, we can't guarantee that nobody's going to get hurt, right? We're just trying to minimize those chances. We're trying to enter into this with care for ourselves and for the other person so that we can each get what we want to out of this without hurting each other as much as possible.
I mean, we're so used to moving into relationships with other people where the other person becomes a priority, or we become that other person's priority. And when we look at FWB relationships, you are a priority, but you're probably not a first, second, third, or fourth place priority in that person's life. You're probably like a once in a while fun times, or a, I didn't have something better to do fun times, or sliding into the booty call fun times. And no, there's no problem with any of those, complete non-judgment on any of them. But often people really have a hard time adjusting from like that escalator where like things are getting closer and you're spending more time and you're prioritizing that other person more and they're prioritizing your needs more. In an FWB situationship, it is very likely that that priority will be mostly physical and it will not be moving forward, and you will not be like that person's top pick overall when other things are happening inside of their life. And it causes a lot of jealousy and heartbreak for people, especially the first few times they try to get into an FWB. I think that's the hardest for most people, because it's a really big shift going from, I love you and you're the best and we're moving forward and we're dating and getting closer, to, all right, see you later.
Yeah. And I want to say that an FWB relationship can be very fulfilling and very beautiful and like very supportive in your life. Like, you know, it's, sexuality is a part of our overall well-being. And so if you are not in, you know, a relationship where you are having sex and you want to have sex, like, this is a beautiful way to have these needs met, you know, while you might be looking or while you might not be looking. You might have no desire to be in a romantic relationship at this point in your life, right? And you might just need to be having regular sex with somebody you like. And that can be like amazing. This is an amazing way to like make sure that you are feeling fulfilled in all parts of your life. And as long as you have those conversations, right? So like this can be beautiful for both people, very fulfilling. And you have to set up those parameters to be able to do that.
I remember when I was in my final years of grad school, and all of my friends were also in their final years of grad school. And most of them knew that within a few months, they were all going to be moving to different places around the world. And most of my friends didn't want to be having sex and didn't want to be having relationships, but didn't want to have permanency because they knew like, hey, you know what? Like, I'm going to be somewhere, you're going to be somewhere. So there are a lot of friends with benefits relationships that happen in that time period for exactly what Spring was saying. Like, these are fun people. They wanted to be having sex and engaging and fun times with each other. But, you know, like, this isn't the right time for me to be forming these long-term relationships because I'm busy writing a dissertation. And I know that I'm not going to be here in a few weeks or a few months. There's a ton of reasons why somebody wouldn't want to engage into it. I also think it's important to say that there are a lot of sexualities, like sexual orientations, where people are not always looking for sex and sexuality. We have episodes about gray sexuals and asexuality, and there's demisexuality. So this is the kind of relationship that you could have with somebody or a situationship with somebody where whenever you feel like you need to have sexual needs met, and it might not be that frequent, you know, like there are people who are not interested in sex very often. There has to be the right kind of situation surrounding it. It might be the perfect relationship, right? It might be the perfect situation for you. But we do need to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk about things that you can do to make these work. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to the episode, everybody. Today, we're talking about friends with benefits. Spring, you know, you're like one of my longest friends and we have all kinds of benefits. None of them are sexual. Actually, all we do is talk about sex all the time. All of our podcasts, all of our friends, all of our situationships, just not with each other. Like, we're friends with better benefits. We're FWBBs. You can be my BB.
FWBB, that's such a cute term. I love that.
But so far this episode, we've been talking about a lot of the various issues that can surround friends with benefits. But I thought it would be nice if we rounded out the episode just talking about what do we do to actually make these things work so that nobody gets hurt, so that everybody gets what they need. And for me, when I think about it, there has to be from the very beginning, right? If you're moving into one of these, all of the parties need to right at the beginning say, hey, I'm not looking for a long-term relationship right now. I'm not looking to date somebody right now. I'm not looking for like a long-term partner or someone to get married to or whatever that is, but looking for some kind of person to have a mutual friendship where we fulfill each other's needs and desires based on parameters, guidelines, guardrails, boundaries that we set up. But both people need to mutually buy into it. I have so many horror stories from friends and other people who come talk to me about how their friends with benefit isn't working out. I'm like, did you both tell each other at the beginning that you were going to be FWBs? Or did one of you make an assumption that you were F with Bs and the FWB and the other one was like, this is the person I want to take home to my parents to show them over the holidays? Like, just have to be really careful. Mutual agreement to what you're getting into. Spring's looking at me and nodding right now. She's like, yes, mutual agreement.
Yeah. And like, you know, not only mutual agreement, but like, create this agreement together, you know? So it's not like, this is what I want. And I'm just putting this here, take it or leave it. Like, have this conversation where you both bring forward like what your needs are and then see if you can come up with like a compromise with considering everybody's needs that everybody's happy with, right? Like, if you come to someone and you're like, I want this, only this, like, it's not a nice way to like enter into something with someone. I think like if you can come together and both say like, you know, we're interested in doing this. Like, what are your needs? What are your wants? How long do you want this to last for? What else are you looking for in your life? And then you can like negotiate this together. Then it becomes like something you're creating together, in which I think all types of relationships, whether they are casual or more serious, should be co-created, right? It shouldn't just be one person dictating what that looks like, right? So you know what you want, but in having this conversation with someone, you want to like understand their needs as well and see where your needs can mesh with theirs and how you can create something that you're both going to be happy with. And that's like, that's what this process should be, right? Like not just like deciding and then saying, but like, let's work together and create something together that is what we both want.
I mean, it sounds like you're talking about friends, which is the first word of FWB. If you want to be successful in this, you have to do the things that surround healthy friendships. And that's exactly what Spring is talking about, right? This is just a friendship that also includes sexual activity for a period of time that you talk about from the beginning. I wonder, out of our 243 episodes, how many of them have like communication as like that tenor, like the high point, like the important piece?
At to least do friends, yeah. 242 of them.
Probably 242. Yeah, we might have like a Happy Holidays episode where we don't tell you to communicate. Maybe one.
Doubtful.
It's doubtful. Yeah, but I mean, it's about that healthy kind of communication and being really thoughtful in how you're engaging with that other person as well. You have to be really careful with manipulation and jealousy inside of some of these friend with benefits relationships. If you feel like you're being manipulated, or if you feel like you have to manipulate someone to do what you want in that relationship, you are no longer a friends with benefits, right? You're a frenemies with benefits. And we're not supporting that kind of relationship right now today, though I'm sure that might work for some people too. But part of that communication is setting up really clear boundaries. And those boundaries, if you set up good ones, right? You have rules, regulations surrounding what's going on, but they prevent misunderstandings. They prevent hurt feelings. They allow you to effectively express how you feel. They allow you to get what you want and make sure the other person's getting what they want too. And if you do a good job with your boundaries, that friends with benefit remains a friend at the end of the benefits, right? Because Spring and I said in the first half, like when you're developing these, when you're talking about them, at some point, most of the time, right? Not all the time, but most of the time, the with benefits drops off, right? And then you either are no longer in communication with that person, but it is our hope that you still have a meaningful emotional friendship with that person after the with benefits drops off. And that happens with clear boundaries and communication and with flexibility, right? We haven't talked about flexibility much, but when we're talking about friends with benefits relationships, it's usually happening in times in people's lives where there's a lot of change going on, right? Circumstances changing, relationships changing, moving to different parts, jobs changing. So you need to have a certain sense of like flexibility with this other person, with your emotional status with this other person, and flexibility and understanding where your relationship stands, right? That you might not be a priority. It might shift to being just a friends without benefits. There's a lot that can go on, and being flexible is really important for successful FWBs.
So I think, you know, when you're thinking about kind of the setup, it might be nice to like schedule these regular check-ins from the beginning. Like if you're talking and you're like, you know, let's try this out for a month or something, or, you know, and then say like each time we hook up, we'll do a little check-in afterward and see like how we're still feeling about this. Or maybe you're just checking in, you know, twice a month or something. It's not necessarily when you're hooking up, but like kind of setting up a little schedule for yourself so that you can understand like that this is possibly going to change over time, right? Like you might decide after a few weeks of this that it's not good for you anymore for any number of reasons, because something else is developing in your life, or because your emotional attachment is changing, or because there are other things taking priority in your life, or other things that need your attention, right? So it could change for any number of reasons. But I think that like starting to think from the beginning also about how you can like set some structure in place to kind of support the potential changes that will no doubtedly occur will also help you feel secure and safe, and will also kind of help minimize those emotional risks that we've been talking about.
So Spring, I have a question for you. What do you do when you start to catch feels? If you're in a FWB situation, you have these boundaries, you have some guardrails, you have good communication. When do you tell this other person, like, hey, so this FWB is starting to feel more like a FWBL?
Wait, what's FWBL?
Friends with benefits lover. I don't know. Just putting like a, like adding emotional intensity component to the
friends
end.
With benefits and emotions. And emotions. No. I think, you know, I wouldn't say it. If you like feel like, oh, I think I'm developing feelings, I would like hold on to it for a minute, like, and, you know, sit with it, maybe talk to some of your other friends about it, just to like get a sounding board, do some reflection on it. Because sometimes you might think that you're developing feelings for someone, but you're not. And that's because we associate sexuality and intimacy with these deep feelings that often are associated. And we have this oxytocin happening, you know, we're releasing these feel good hormones when we're having sex. And like, you might start to think I'm falling in love with this person, even though you actually might not be. So I would say sit with it a little bit before you go to your FWB, before you have a convo about it, like check in with yourself. Like if you have sex with them and you want to say, I love you right then, say, well, hold up, go home, think about that. Are you actually falling in love with this person? Or was that just that hormonal release, right? And then after you've done some check-ins with yourself, after you've like really thought about like the whole situationship as a whole, not just the sex, but like what other boundaries you've set up and how that's feeling for you. And then you can say like, okay, is this still working for me in its current form? And if the answer is no, that's when it's time to go to the FWB person that you're engaged with and say, you know, I think these things are shifting for me. And so I either want to talk about changing the boundaries that we have around the situationship, or it might be time for me to leave it, right? That's when you want to have that conversation, when you're like, this, the way that we've set it up isn't working for me anymore.
And when you enter into an FWE situationship with somebody, you have to expect on the other side, not a relationship with the other person. Right? Like, I think often people sort of get themselves into a headspace. They have the feel good emotions. They have the oxytocin and the dopamine and the serotonin. They have someone who responds back and is available to them. And then they think that there's something more. The vast majority of the time when you enter into an FWB, you're going to exit with an F and that's it. Right. And I think a lot of people really mistake that relationship changing or the feel good with that escalator, right? So you have to always tell yourself, like, I'm not on an escalator with this other person, right? Unless you have the conversation, like Spring just said. If you have that conversation where, like, you know, I'm having some different feels, I feel a little bit different about this relationship, and then engage in a conversation. How do you feel about it? But you should always enter into that, right? And even if you feel yourself changing those emotions, and I like what Spring said, you sit on it for a little bit, but then you talk about it. Because if you sit in that friends with benefits situationship long enough to make it a friends with love situationship, but the other person doesn't have that change, right? You end up being hurt. And it's your fault too, right? Like, your emotions can change, but you can't expect that other person's emotions to change unless you start having those conversations. So part of protecting yourself and that other person is thinking about it for a little while, right? And then having a conversation. And if the other person says, nah, not feeling it, like, that's, those are the guardrails that you're putting on. That's why you have the good communication, right? That's why you have rules surrounding what you do. That's why you're having those check-ins, like Spring said just a few minutes ago, because you don't want to be hurt and you don't want to hurt that other person as well. Now, of course, you shouldn't say like, nah, not interested, right? That would be like a cruel thing to say to the other person. But what you would say, like, no, sorry, like, you know, I still really enjoy spending time with you, but I'm not really feeling like I should be in a relationship with you, or whatever the reason is at that time. But you should still be respectful in handling, like, not moving on to that escalator. But if you enter into an FWB, most of the time, the vast majority of the time, you're going to exit with a friend.
Hopefully. That's the plan.
That's our plan for you.
You go from friends to friends with benefits, back to friends at some point. And I think, you know what? That's my number one piece of advice for this episode, is to have that expectation from the beginning and that plan from the beginning. Like, I love that. Actually, let's consider from the very beginning, how do we transition back to being friends? Because at some point, the FWB is going to end, right? And so let's talk about from the beginning, how do we transition back to being friends? How do we like make sure that that's a priority here, that we keep that in our mind, because that's what we have been. And we want to like keep that and like make sure that we prioritize that for each other.
And if you have those conversations early, and if that's what you're focused on, right? Like, I like this other person. I like being close and intimate with this other person. I like the way that my body feels with this other person. I feel emotionally safe with this other person. The least you can do for yourself and that other person, right? Where you're having all those good feels, is being like, how do I make sure that I still have emotional support and friendship support throughout this relationship and whenever this relationship changes, right? Because FWB relationships are temporary. You have to go into them thinking they're temporary. All right. I'm sure we're going to get a couple comments, people sending us DMs saying like, well, I've been in an FWB for 25 years. Like, yeah, you are the outlier. The vast majority of them do not last all that long. And also, I think that if you have an FWB that lasts with 25 years, it's probably like, we probably need better language in English, right? Like, you've escalated. You're just on a different escalator going to a different spot with that person. Different benchmarks. Like, yeah, if you're in a 10-year relationship with the same person and you're having sex with them, you're doing better than the vast majority of people who get married. So we need to take lessons from you anyway. All right. Any final thoughts or words before we close out this beautiful episode, my FWBB?
I was like, what? Oh, yeah, that's our new term. Yeah, I mean, communication is your main BFF here in your FWB situationships. So bring it along for the ride and you can go on a beautiful journey.
Beautiful journey, but just not up the escalator. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for chatting with us. We love answering your questions. If you have any questions or follow up about this, we would love to hear from you. You can send us an email. We're the sex wrap. That's wrap with a W, W-R-A-P at gmail.com. We're on Instagram. We're really active there. We're active every day posting content. We would love to hear from you. You can send us a DM there.
For everything that you were too afraid to ask at home, too embarrassed to ask at school, or just too...
Music for this episode provided by the ever elusive and mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder.
The Podglomerate. A sonic universe.